It's good to be here this morning with y'all. I don't have a whole lot to share this morning, but the things I want to share are something that's been on my heart for a while and that I've thought about, and something that has been something that I've found in my own life, and I'd just like to share a little bit of that. The title for the few thoughts that I have is Our Dilemma, God's Opportunity. And as a... Yeah, I know I can't share this in all the ways I'd like to, make it as clear as I'd like to, but I think the burden for what I have to share comes from things that I've found for myself. It's that many times we don't come to God when we need Him most. We don't always believe that the God who said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We don't always believe that He actually wants us to come to Him and bring our burden to Him. We want to get rid of the burden and take care of the problem and have our life all nice and clean, and then come to God. And then be useful for God when everything's right in our lives. And I believe God wants us to come to Him as we are, even if we're not perfect. Even if we have big problems in our lives, God is the one that we need. He's the one who forgives, cleanses, and can turn our messes into beautiful pictures. I'd like to turn to Luke 15. It's a familiar account, but I'd just like to go through it. I think this is a good example, verse 11 through 32. I think this is a good example of this, and I think we can learn something from this. Luke 15, verse 11, and he said, Jesus speaking, he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And we see there that this son, he made a mistake. There's kind of a progression. Verse 13 through verse 16, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So we see there's a progression there where his decisions that he makes are just taking him down. And we can imagine the shame that fills him as he realizes his money's run out. He doesn't have anything anymore. And he still has a father. He knows that he still has a father. But he doesn't go back there because he's still trying to take care, trying to fix his own problems, trying to take care of his needs. And in verse 17, we see he comes to a realization. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" So his father's servants, here he was a son, and he knew that his father's servants were doing better than he was. And he realized that he's a son. And I think there was a faint hope that rose up in him that was thinking, maybe my father will still accept me. In verse 18 and 19, he comes up with a plan of action. He says, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" So he realized there's a sense where he realizes that he has not he's brought shame to his father, disgrace, and he doesn't deserve anything. And he just wants to be a servant. He doesn't want to live in the house with the family. He doesn't want to eat at his table. He just wants to be a servant. And then in verse 20 and on, he put his plan into action, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. We don't know, but it seems like this father had there was no ill will in this father's heart towards his son. And he saw him coming. He was looking for him, and he saw him coming. And he ran to him, and he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. I just want to stop there for a little bit and bring this. I want us to be able to relate this, because there's things that we do, things that happen, things that come up in our lives where we fall short, where we sin, where we fall, even as Christians. And sometimes even it happens for me anyway. I assume it happens for others too. Even before we were Christians, we thought if our life would just not be such a mess, then we could come to God. And if we, this was Christ talking. He was telling us how God feels, the heart of God to someone that comes to Him. And if we can put ourselves in that place, when we've made a big mess out of everything because we've walked away from God or we've taken our own way. This is how God wants us to come to Him. And this is God's heart towards us when we come to Him. And so he comes back and he tells his father he's sinned, and he says he's no more worthy to be called his son. And he tells him he just wants to be a hired servant. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So it leaves us with a question. Will God only use or accept those who have a perfect life? Does God want us to wait to come to Him or be useful to Him until we have every need and insufficiency taken care of? Or is our need or insufficiency the opportunity that He uses to reveal Himself? Because it is in our weakness that God is strong, and in our insufficiency, His sufficiency is exalted. I'd like to turn to a passage in 1 Peter and just read that just to help bring this into perspective a little bit. First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And in verse 5, I want us to pay attention to this one. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it is not, it's not us that cleans our lives. It's not us that does these things, but it's God. And in verse 5, we have all the power of God. That's all the power of God that He has available for us. We can access that by faith. And that is our salvation, is accessing that power of God through faith and letting Him, coming to God and letting Him be our, letting Him fix our problems, letting Him take care of us. I'll read verse 6 yet. I'll read a few more here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, the question is, and maybe I'm speaking more from my own experience than anything, and I guess that's fine. I don't mind sharing that. But there's things that happen in life where we feel like we've just messed it all up, and we've just made a mess out of things, and we can't go on, and we feel like God's upset at us. And but to realize that God wants us in that moment to come to Him. I'd like to, there's a passage that I really love in Numbers 21. It's the account where the children of Israel spoke against God and against Moses. And in verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So we have these people. They had done something that displeased God, and it brought judgment upon them. And the solution was a simple, look to the serpent and be healed. And then if we turn to John chapter 3. You probably know where I'm going with this, but in John chapter 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It doesn't take a master's degree in looking to look. It just takes turning away from ourselves and the things we have been looking at and looking to the Lord Jesus. It doesn't take very much effort, but it does take looking away from ourselves and letting God, giving God our burdens and letting Him take care of them. I think that's all I have. I hope it could be a blessing. I hope it could encourage someone. I know those are things that God has tried to teach me, and I think I've learned a little bit. But there's still a lot I have to learn. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you. Thank you, Father, that we have such a kind, loving Father who loves us, who takes our life and everything that we've done wrong. And if we give it to you, you make such a beautiful picture out of it, Father. We thank you, Lord. I just pray that you would give each one of us the humility, give each one of us the brokenness, to bring our burdens to you, to look to you, and find life. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we have salvation, that we have forgiveness of sins. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would bless Alan as he comes up and shares. Father, please be here with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.